To turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And verse 1 is where we're at here. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9 and start reading right there. And we're going to read down a little ways through chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Just so we can get a recap on where we've been. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because men goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken, or the fountain or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, given to us, Lord, and thank you for blessings our lives. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight, Lord. And we ask that you be with the prayer request been mentioned, Lord. Just God, any blessing those. And Lord, just help us to be able to worship you tonight, Lord. And just take us out of the message. Be with your word as it goes out, Lord. That you would use that word that goes out tonight to mold and make us as your desire is for us to be, Lord. And help us to please give us hearing ears and seeing eyes and understanding heart, Lord. That we can hear and see your word tonight, Lord. And just help us to not take my word for it, but help us to take it home and prove it to our own hearts, Lord. Just kindly bless in that, Lord. Save those tonight that are lost here before it's eternally too late. And help us be witness to them as there ought to be, Lord. Just kindly bless tonight, Lord. And be with those that are away, bring them back home safely. Be with those that are sick, that have ailments, Lord. Just kindly bless their situations, Lord. And we just thank for everything, everybody. Just name, pray and ask these things. Amen. We notice there in the end of chapter 11, starting in verse 9, that it's almost like he started, in my opinion, it's almost like he started chapter 12 there. But that's my opinion. Don't do anything with that. That's strictly my opinion and what chapter 12 talks about. But chapter 12, verse 1, he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I think this is neat the way he words this. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So we are to remember something. We are to remember our Creator. We have a Creator. And the Creator is not us. The Creator is not evolution. The Creator is not a Big Bang theory. It's not a theory. It's an actual fact of creation is what it is. And the world doesn't want to remember that. The world wants to go about it their way. But the Lord says here, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And if you think back on Ecclesiastes, what we've looked at all the way from chapter 1 all the way to now, it's a book about the flesh from a fleshly standpoint. And that's true. But he's been through here. He's not contradicting himself, but he's changing our views now. And it's my opinion. I think I've said this before, but I'll say it again. It's my opinion that it seems like Solomon is writing this at the end of his life. The end of this book, it seems to me like. I could be wrong, but that's what it seems to me like. But he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Before, he always said, enjoy your work, enjoy your labor, enjoy the fruit of your labor. Oh, and now he's saying, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When we're young, there are some things that, well, it's just, whenever I first started plumbing, jumped down in a ditch, it was no big deal. Do sewer lines, do things like that, jump down the ditch is no problem. And the older I get, the more I think about jumping down that ditch, and I'm looking for the ladder, and more to climb down in that ditch. You know, and I guess a lot of the reason is because I've been warned by some of the old timers that have jumped down the ditch for years, and now they can't because they didn't do that right. And that's kind of what he's saying here. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Not that it's wrong to jump down a ditch, but we need to live our lives for the Lord while we're young, while we have the energy, while we have the momentum that, I don't want to say the ability, because everybody has the ability, but while we have the energy and we're able to move and go about these things, he says, remember now, you young people that are here today, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While you're young, remember. We have young people here today that need to remember the Lord now in your life. Because you think about it, if you don't remember Him now and you don't focus your mind upon Him now, you're not going to later. I mean, from a fleshly standpoint, it's not going to change on you. He goes on, he says, while the evil days come not, while the evil days come not. I don't think he's talking here about the sin, because there's not a time in our life when sin is not going to come upon us. When we're young, sin is there. When we're middle-aged, sin is there. When we're older, I'm hearing that sin is there. I mean, sin is everywhere in our life all the way through. So it's not, I don't believe it's talking about sin, sinful days, but it says, while evil days come not. Seems like what he's talking about there is old age. And I hesitated to say it that way because I don't want to offend anybody and saying old age, but in older years, when we get older, and I'm 36 years old. I can remember back when I was 12, 15, 18. I can remember all of that. That I had a lot more energy. I still have energy, but I could just seem like I could do more. Than, you know, but. Seems to me that's what he's talking about here, when that our body will begin to wear out, because this body's not made to last forever. When the evil days come, it's going to be when our body begins to wear out. And remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days are here, when you're not old, when you're young, when you have the energy, when you have the stamina, when you have the strength to go about and do the things of the Lord. Because there's going to come a day when those things become hard to do. He says, remember now. He says, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There's going to come a time in our life when not only are we growing older and our body doesn't seem to work as well, but our senses begin to lack. Hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, they all begin to fade after a while. And I think that's what he's talking about here. When we don't have a pleasure in our days. We don't have a pleasure in the things. We can't hear as well. We can't see as well. And it's harder to do the things when we get up. I remember, my grandparents, I remember when I was younger, and they seemed pretty old then when I was younger. You know, they did, but I'm telling you, Grandpa Reynolds could run faster than me. He could run. He could flat move. And we would, of course, I was laughing so hard racing him and Grandpa running, you know, so I couldn't run very good. But he had a lot of energy and all. But then as he was getting older, and before he died, it's just, he was different because his hearing didn't work as well. His body was shutting down. His body was coming to the time when he didn't have a lot of pleasure in his body. His mind worked good. His mind, he could tell you how to build anything, but to go do it for every time we went over there, he would always want to take a trip to the shop. Let's go to the shop. But then, you know, and he would walk down there. He would walk to the shop. I'd walk with him, and he'd show me stuff. We had to stay over there for a while so he could rest for the walk back. You know? But then, when we were over there, the last time we were there before we went and he passed away, he wouldn't go to the shop, so we got up, and we had to stop once on the way there. He couldn't make the trip all the way to the shop. Had to stop and rest about halfway. Stand there and rest, then he could make the rest of the way there. And we had to stay there for a while. And he had to stop halfway back and rest. And then come on back. But his body was wearing out. He didn't have a lot of pleasure in his body because it was old. His mind still thought he could do things. But then he'd go to do it and realize he's got this old body. And it bothered him. And he talked about that some, that, you know, when you grow old, you just can't do what you used to be able to do. Things aren't as enjoyable as they were because there's so much effort got to put forth to do them, where those things were so easy before. It says, you know, the years, they just keep going. And I think it's neat here. He says, nor the years draw nigh. You know, and I remember when I was younger, 6, 7 years old, go over to a neighbor's house and play for 30 minutes. That was a long time. I mean, I got 30 minutes that I can go play. All right, go over and play. 30 minutes now? Break's over with already? You know, 30 minutes goes by in a heartbeat. You know, and the years go by, I can't believe it's already November of 2009. It should just barely be 2001, if that. You know, and the time flies. They come so quickly. And when you get older, it seems like you just quit having pleasure in your days because of the way the body works. And he goes on here in verse 2, and he says, and remember, what we're talking about here is remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth and why. Okay, this is what he's saying. Why remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth? While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. So he says, while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, in time, if the Lord lets us live, we could experience the darkening of our eyes. We could experience that, you know, it's like this. I would show some of the old timers at work. We'd be looking at a set of blueprints, and I'd be looking at them over here and just studying them. And the guy'd come up and say, "Hey, I have a question for you." And he'd come over and look at it, get his glasses, and he'd put them on, and he'd do this. "You got any better light in here?" He'd look around for some light and get some light over there, and then he could see it. But it, you know, the light was getting dimmer around him, it seemed like, because his eyes were fading. His eyes were giving out on him. You know, and it seemed like that's what, even though the sun, the moon, the stars are just as bright, but it seems as though, it seemed, in our youth, everything works great, we can see good, and we take advantage of that. But when we get older and those things start fading, we begin to realize how mortal we are. We begin to realize how fragile our lives are. So he says, remember that Creator when your eyes work good. And he says, goes on in this verse number 2, and he says, nor the clouds return after the rain. I prayed about this because, and I've got some thoughts about it. But there are some commentaries that I looked at, and one of them talked about when it doesn't rain so much. I don't think that's what he's talking about. I don't think it has anything to do with that. But nor the clouds return after the rain. And here's my thought process behind it. As I got to looking at it, the rain, the storms, never bothered me too much. Working in a restaurant, who cared? I mean, I'm in dry all the time anyway, so what difference does it make? But then I got to working outside and working in plumbing and construction. The only part I didn't like about the rain was the mud. I mean, you're tramping around in the mud all day long. You know, and that was a bother, but it didn't really bother me. The rain and stuff didn't really bother me too much. But then I remembered I broke my leg. Rain bothers me now. I got a rod in my leg that tends to give some pain a little bit when it rains. And I remember talking to Grandpa McCorder about it. And he's like, oh yeah, you've got arthritis in it. That's my knuckles feel like that, my knees, my back, my neck. And he started explaining the joints that he has pain with when it rains. He's like, well, I wonder if maybe it's talking about there that the joints hurt a lot. And I know, and I have a couple of thoughts. This is just one of them, that you have a lot of pains, but I think he's talking more about than just arthritis when it rains. I think he's talking about here, he says, nor the clouds return after the rain. So there comes a time when it seems like the when it stops raining, the clouds are right there again. Stops raining, the clouds are right there again. It seems like that once you get over one ailment, there's another one at the door coming in. There's another pain, another element that's right there. It seems to me that's what he's talking about. I lean more towards that. And it's that's my thought on it. And the reason why I'm thinking that is because of some of the people I've been around, some of the older people I've been around, that they have pains and they get over that pain. Well, yeah, my knee's not hurting anymore, but man, my hips are messing me up now, and I got that taken care of. Now my shoulder's hurting, and get that taken care of. The neck's hurting, and it just goes on and on. Your body's wearing out, and you have pains in different places. And I think that's what he's talking about there. So remember thy Creator and thy youth when these things aren't coming upon you, taking your focus off of what we're supposed to be doing. Okay? He goes on to verse 3 and he says, in a day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the window be darkened. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. When the keepers of the house look at this, and whenever I was young, before I got my driver's license, I rode a bike everywhere. If I couldn't ride a bike, I ran. That was my two options. It doesn't matter. If I had to go from here to the back door, my bike was there, I'd probably pick it up and ride it over there. Or if not, I'd run to get over there. I mean, it's just, that was what we did. That was what I did. Anywhere I went, I rode a bike. You know, I ran, and we had fun doing it. We raced just to race. We ran just to run because we didn't have anything else to do. You know, as kids, that's what we do. But then as you get older, the keepers of the house, the arms and the legs, the ones that keep the body, that maintain the body, that take the body places, that protect the body, the keepers of the house, when they tremble, when you get older, you can't run. You have a harder time with it. Your joints don't work as well. Your muscles don't work as well. I remember I've seen people that Grandpa Reynolds was one that I think of this a lot. He would stand up. He would get out of his easy chair and he'd stand there a minute. Say, "You okay? I'm just getting my legs used to it." And he'd pat his legs. "I'm just getting them used to the weight. That's all I'm doing." You know, and I think that's what he's talking about here. When they tremble, he says if you get up and start walking, he feels like he's going to go down. They're not ready to handle that weight yet. So he gets up easy, handles them, and I think that's what he's talking about there. Your knees will shake. So, you know, but remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth when this is not happening. He says, and the strong men shall bow themselves. The strong men shall bow themselves. I think he's talking about here, about your arms, your back, your legs, the strong men. You know, I lean more toward the legs. That's the strongest part of your body is your legs. So, and they bow themselves. They don't handle the weight. It's not easy to carry a lot of things when you get older. Because your body, and it all comes from your body wearing out. That's what happens to the body when we get older. It just wears out. He goes on and he says, and the grinders cease because they are few. He's talking about the teeth there. The grinders cease because they are few. As you get older, you just think about how many meals you've ate. I mean, you know, how many meals you've ate, how much food you've consumed, and your teeth, you've chew things with your teeth. They're not made to last forever. None of this body's made to last forever, and it wears out. And they begin to fall out. They begin to leave. So as you get older, your teeth wear out and they fall out and they become few. It becomes hard chewing food, and the types of food changes. You have to change the type of food you're eating because it changes. You can't handle the food that you used to be able to eat. And then, I like food. And I can just imagine what that would be like to not be able to eat some of your favorite types of food. It would be kind of disappointing a little bit, I would think. But the grinders cease. You don't have to work so hard because your type of food changes. So I remember, and I go back to my grandparents a lot, because they're the ones I was around. I knew them when they were younger, and I was around them when they grew up. I can have that memory there. But I remember like Grandpa Reynolds there. He was eating soft food and all, but he was sick. He didn't have the energy to chew or anything, and his body couldn't handle it. But he goes on and he says, "And the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. The eyes that look out of the windows be darkened." Well, in a regular room where young kids are at, we have to tell Melinda and the other girls, "You need a light to read." Well, I can see fine. Oh, everything works so great when you're younger. When you get older, the eyes get where you can't see as well. Not when you're young. Everything seems to be getting darker and harder to see. Remember that Creator in the days of thy youth when these things aren't happening. I'm going to keep saying that because that's what it's about here. Remember that Creator in the days of thy youth. Why? Because these things happen. If you're not careful, you'll have so much going on in your life. Things not working right. Your body's wearing out. That will take your focus off what it's supposed to be on. Okay? Our focus is supposed to be on what? The Lord. Serving Him. Obeying Him. Following Him. And if we take our focus off of that and put it on our elements, which is easy to do, isn't it? It's very easy to do. I can just imagine what it would be like when you get older and you begin to have these things going on. If you don't have your focus on the Lord, you'll begin to be depressed about these things. He gets into that here later on. But he goes on in verse 4 and he says, "And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of a bird. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low." The ears. The doors shall be shut in the streets. I have a couple things here. I talking about the ears here. The doors shall be shut in the streets. You can't hear as well in the streets. You can't hear as well when you're going around, going about. You talk to somebody that's losing their hearing on the phone, and you almost got to yell. It's not bad. It's not wrong. And I don't want to offend anybody by this. It's just what happens, and it's something we all got to look forward to, right? We all got to look forward to this happening to us. It's just the nature, the way things go, the way the Lord has it set up. And we can't hear as well. We misunderstand things. And in working in construction, it's kind of funny because whenever we're working around power tools, we have to put earplugs in. We're hammer drilling or whatever, using a regular drill or stuff like that, and somebody will come up and start talking to you, and you'll answer them. They'll just stand there. What? What'd you say? You take your earplugs out, and they said something completely different than what you think they said. And it's a lot of times like that with older people. Say something to them, they'll answer you like, that's not what I said. So you tell them again, and like, oh, okay, yeah. It's kind of like Grandpa McCorder always said, "Hang on, let me adjust this." And he adjusts his hearing aid, and then he can hear you. But the ears quit working as well. There was one Gill's commentary here says something that I thought was very interesting. And I didn't write it down word for word. I wrote it down in my words, and I'll read it here. As you get older, you will notice that the younger generation, and you see this a lot. And what he's saying here is the doors in the Bible. I didn't write down the verses. The Bible refers to the lips as the doors to the mouth. Okay, in a couple places. And so he took that and said, as you get older, you'll notice that the younger generation as a whole will not listen to you because they don't think you have anything to say. And you can see that happening. You can see that, and I remember as a kid that been around other kids, and we were taught, and the kids here were taught, to respect our elders, to respect those that were older than us, to respect them and honor them, and listen to them because they had something valuable to say. But a lot of kids in school were not taught that. They were not told that, and they would talk about the old people, the old codger, the old, you know, it be rude about it. And not listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. That's just an old man or old woman. You know, they do know what they're talking about. But you see a change in the older people, if you look at it, when they used to give advice and then they quit giving advice because nobody takes it anymore. Nobody listens to them. And it began, the young people look at him as an old fogey. And that's what he's saying here. That the door shall be shut in the streets. They'll quit talking to other people in the streets because they're not listening to him anyway. They review him as an old fogey, so they quit listening to him. And I don't know. But I just thought it was interesting. I want to tell you about that. But when the sounds of the grinding are low, and he goes on and says that in verse 4, when the sounds of the grinding are low, excuse me, when you can't eat as much, you don't eat as much, the type of food you eat is softer. And the grinding, back up, like the grinders cease because they are few, when the sounds of the grinding is low. The type of food, as mentioned a while ago, changes. You begin to have to eat softer food. Your stomach, you won't handle the foods that you could eat as a younger, the steaks, you know. You can't eat those things anymore because your body won't handle them. He goes on and he says, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. I think this is neat because it's just different because, grandma and grandpa are the same way here. You talk to them, they couldn't hear you, but you make a noise at nighttime when everything's quiet and they're right up. They hear that. They're up. And they wake up early in the morning. The bird wakes them up, but they can't sleep at nighttime, so they wake up early. And he goes on, and he says, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. You don't have the breath that you used to. I believe that's what he's talking about. You don't have the breath that you used to. You can't hear like you used to. Everything is going away from you, it seems like. But it's just about getting old and things like that happening. In verse 5, he says, also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because men go into his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high. And he's talking about getting up in high places, climbing ladders, walking up a steep embank. Walking up a steep hill. Because your legs aren't as strong as they used to be. You stop and you think about that. I don't think he's talking about being afraid of heights. There's young people that are afraid of heights. I'm not real fond of them. I can do it, but I'm not real fond of them. But I think he's talking about going up in high places because you know that your legs are more delicate than they used to be. And fears shall be in the way. There's a lot of things you won't do anymore because you're a fear of falling, just because your body can't handle the things it used to. So you have a lot of fears there to stop you from doing some things. And the almond tree shall flourish. Your hair will turn gray. It'll turn gray. And you think about it. When a tree blooms, does it take a long time for it to bloom? Or you go to bed one night, you wake up the next day, it's blooming. That's about the way gray hair, they say, comes on. I wouldn't know. Mine just leaves. Mine don't turn gray. It just lets go. But You know, it comes on you very quickly, and right there it is. And I remember Dad talking about it. He woke up one morning, looked in the mirror, and there's Dad was. There Grandpa Reynolds was, looking him right back in the mirror. And, you know, and I think that's what it's like. You know what age you are. You don't feel that old, but then you look in the mirror, there it is. We're looking right back at you, and there it is. He goes on there and he says, and a grasshopper shall be a burden. The lightest thing, the thing that you would never think about when you were young of being a burden. That thing to carry, you would never think that that would be a burden. But a light thing that you could carry all day long when you're young now is a burden to you when you're older. It says, and desire shall fail. And you think about it, because of all these things are happening to you, you won't have the desire to do much because you can't complete the task without a great deal of effort. The same task when you were younger, and you can remember this, the same task when you were younger that you could do without much effort now takes a lot of effort to complete it. So you hate to start it because you know you're going to have to work very hard to get it done, and it's depressing because you used to not have to, and now you do. So that's why He says, remember that thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He says, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. You know, you're getting older. The people around you that you know, that you spend time with, are getting older, and they're dying. And you go about, you mourn. And the people that are mourning for them are beginning to be less and less and less because they're dying. And that's just part of nature. It's the way it goes. But you can look at this, and well, let's go on to verse 6 here. And he says, or the silver cord be loosed. And I looked at this, and it seemed to me that he was saying a lot of different ways here of a lot of different phrases for dying. But I got to look at it and begin to pray about it and study it out. The silver cord here is the stop talking. You stop communicating is a sign. And you think about it. Those people that you've been around that have passed away, the silver cord, they stopped talking. It has been loosed. So it's not saying anything. Before they die, they quit talking. The golden bowl be broken. From what I can understand here about this, it's the mind. The mind stops working as well and forgets things and grows old and stops working. It doesn't tell the body to do the things it's supposed to be doing all the time. The pitcher be broken at the fountain. Although this was very interesting that it's talking about the pitcher be broken at the fountain. I was like, what is this? And it's another way. These are all phrases of different ways of dying, different phrases of death. But they likened it unto the heart that pushes the blood through the body. You know, and I thought it was neat that there's two sides to the heart. And that's what it's talking about in the other part of this, or the wheel be broken at the cistern. The part that pulls the heart throughout the body, from the body into the heart, and the other part of the heart that pushes it throughout the body. That you have trouble with your hearts. Heart attacks, things like that. But you just stop and think about this for a minute, that all this, and it's kind of depressing. I mean, I've heard one message on this before here. I didn't really want to preach it because it's depressing. You know, if you think about it, this is what we have to get older. This is what we have. But if you stop and you think about this for a minute, if we do what verse 1 says, in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, what does that say? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Think about it. Here you go. You're over here. You're in your youth. And you don't remember your Creator. Okay? We're going to take this first. You don't remember your Creator. So you're going about your life. And when you get over here, you get older. You can't do the things you used to. Your body's shutting down. Your eyes don't work. Your ears don't work as well. You can't taste anything. You don't have any pleasure in food. You don't have any pleasure in smells. Because you can't smell them very well. You don't have any pleasure in seeing things because you can't see very well. You can't hear. There's no sense in talking to anybody because you can't hear what they're saying. And you can't see them very well. So you get depressed. You get down and discouraged about life because you're old and you can't function. You can't do. And you're always thinking back to when you could. Okay? That's one option. Or you can be over here in your youth and you can do what the Bible says and you can remember the days. You can remember that Creator in the days of your youth. Okay? You can remember the Lord and you can live for Him. Okay? Now, as you're living for the Lord, you're going about your life and you get older. And you can't go about and do those things you used to could do. But your focus is not on what you can't do. Your focus all the way through your life has been on what you can do for the Lord. Because you've remembered your Creator. When you get down to the end of your life, what do? Your focus is still on what you can do for the Lord. I think about Sister Beanie who prayed. She prayed for every one of us. She prayed. She couldn't get out of the house, but she prayed. I think of Sister Dolores who prays. I think of Brother Shelley who prayed. I think of all these people that we know. I was thinking of on the way here, Grandma Lawson. You know, there's a lot of people in the church that we know that have grown older, and their focus when that has been on the Lord. When they got older, their focus was not on what they can't do. Their focus was on what they can do. They can pray. They can do things for the Lord still. They can help by those things. And what I see in this, we're going to grow old. These things are going to happen to us. And whether I explain them right or they're going to happen to us. We're going to grow old. Our body's going to shut down. Our body's going to wear out. That's a fact. That's what's going to happen. There's no getting around it. As long as the Lord lets us live, there's no getting around it. How are you going to get there? Brother Orville said one time that if you're going to heaven, you can go one or two ways, kicking and screaming, or in pleasure. I got that messed up, Brother Orville, but and that's the way we can go. We can go first class with the Lord to old age, or we can go with the ways of the world. And you think about it. I know some guys that work in the field and they work all week for the weekend. That's what they do. And when they come in Monday morning, they want you to be quiet. They don't want you to be loud. So, those are the guys that I like putting on jackhammers when they come in Monday morning. You can go out and drink and party and come in a hangover. You can operate a jackhammer or something like that. But, and you find out how old they are, a lot of times you're amazed at how young they are compared to the way they look. When you don't remember your Creator, the days of your youth will go away very quickly. Very quickly. This world wears you out very quickly. So, if you're here today and you're lost, you need salvation now. You need salvation. We don't know. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. We know He's coming back. We don't know when. We know that death has been appointed to everyone. We don't know when our time is coming. We do not know. The Lord knows. He's the only one that knows. We need to be prepared. We know that we're growing old, right? We know that. We're going to. If the Lord doesn't come back and He allows us to live, I'm going to grow old. Lord willing, when I get where I'm one of the old ones, that I will be able to focus my focus on what I can do for the Lord because I've been doing that my whole life. Lord willing, I can do that at the end. But you think about it, if you're not focusing now when you're young on the Lord, I'll wait till I get older and I can't do anything to serve the Lord. Do you really think you're going to then? You're not going to then. You need to serve the Lord now. Right now when you can. Just as a final thought, right now in your life, do you have regrets right now in your life? Everyone can shake their head yes. We do, don't we? We have regrets in our life. Times that we can look in our life and think, Lord, have you used every bit of your life for the Lord, or is there wasted time in your life? And you think about that when you get older and you look back on your life, is most of your life going to be used for the Lord, or is it going to be used as waste? And I think that's what he's talking about here. We're going to grow old. These things are coming. We need to be serving the Lord now while we can, while we have the energy, while we have the stamina to be able to go out there and serve the Lord, while we have the gumption and we have the ability. I don't like that saying, that ability, while our body's fit and we can go do these things. We need to be doing them. We need to be serving the Lord, following His will in our life, and remembering the Creator in the days of our youth. So we will remember our Creator in the days of our age. So I believe that's what He's saying here. He's giving us a... And Solomon, I believe it, and that it's telling us there, or the Lord's telling us through Solomon, that we need to put our focus on Him while we're young. So when we get older, we can put our focus on Him. You know? But if you're here today and you're lost, you need salvation. You need to be saved. I know this has not been a message to the lost, but you too are going to grow old. And if you don't serve the Lord now, you'll have regrets later. You won't regret serving the Lord. You will not regret following Him in salvation. But we'll be praying for you. If you will, let's stand. And Brother Andy, if you lead us in a verse.